Oh my goodness. Hello, everybody. It has been a little while, I feel like. Not feel like, it has been a little while. It's been almost a month. So I got to start out this podcast by just apologizing to you guys that probably didn't really care anyway, that I haven't been on top of my game. Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. It hasn't been for lack of wanting to. In fact, I tried to set up a podcast with a comic here in New York that has been really cool to me since I got here and produces some shows at some different places here in the city and is a really good dude named Ryan Hernandez, but unfortunately it didn't work out scheduling-wise. So that got delayed, and then one thing or the other, just not having a chance to stop and do a segment. Is that, I don't know, whatever you would call it. So I do apologize to you guys for the tardiness of episode number 12 of If You Give a Mic a Comic, today being Friday, October 9th. So we are in fall here in New York City. It is a rainy day here in New York right now. It is raining and thundering, and I actually like this weather. A lot of people hate this weather, but I like it because I'm just kind of a drab individual a lot of the time. Just kind of, New York City living is very concrete jungle, so it's nice when I know other people are on my level because of the weather. So selfishly, I like to know that when it's not good weather, that everybody's just kind of like, meh. It's kind of the attitude, meh. What do I got to say? I guess I should talk about the last almost month, what I've been up to. not too much. Not too much exciting stuff. A lot of stuff that's been actually a disappointing thing. But, it's part of the journey, and I respect the struggle. I understand there's battles you got to fight, and it's not easy. So if it was easy, a lot of people would do it. So it's not supposed to be easy. So I'm cool with it. Excuse me. But definitely it's... Last month was kind of a... September started out pretty well, and then I actually had a show at Gotham that ended up getting canceled, and so I was pretty bummed about that because I was looking forward not only to performing at Gotham, but also I need to get a good tape. I've been needing a good tape, and I'm still waiting for the right place to get that tape, so I was hoping I was going to do it there, but unfortunately that fell through. But on the bright side of that, actually, this show was rescheduled for the 20th, so a little less than 2 weeks from now, I actually am scheduled to be there, and hopefully we'll be able to get a good tape then, and then I can use that tape to hopefully parlay some other stuff, maybe some festival gigs, and possibly getting in some other clubs. So definitely... That'll be a good opportunity. I'm right now just kind of mentally prepping myself for that situation, trying to make sure I know exactly what I want to do. Because when I make a tape, honestly, I don't want it to be dirty. A lot of people do dirty stuff. I want to have a clean tape because a clean tape, you can do anything with. You have a dirty tape, you know, if there's a corporate opportunity or something, not that I would ever even have that opportunity or do that, but just it leaves doors open that you kind of close if your tape is dirty. So I'm definitely going to try to make sure that I maybe a shit or ass here or there. I mean, come on, maybe a damn or a hell, but we're going to try to leave out the fucks. Maybe not have any fucks. So maybe it won't be a like 100% clean tape, but I'm going to try to make it as clean as I can. So that'll be cool. Other than that, just been doing a lot of just hanging out at shows, meeting comics, kind of shaking hands and kissing babies type deal. Just a lot of that, which I expected. I mean, it's been only I'm actually at 5 months. Like, probably this week was 5 months to the day since I've been here. So I really am just now starting to finally kind of feel like when I go out somewhere, and I'm kind of I've got some spots, like some certain areas that I've been kind of targeting, and I feel like now when I get out there, I can walk into a club and I'll at least recognize a few people that I can kind of start talking to, and kind of so I don't feel like I'm just some weirdo going up to a club by himself, just sitting there, which sometimes still is the case. I've been by the Stand. The Stand has been my number one hangout spot since I've been here, because I just love that. I just love the club, and it's definitely somewhere where I feel like I could target to start getting spots, hopefully. Maybe starting a Monday or Tuesday show would be what I'm looking for, and then hopefully get that going to get some more spots for better shows. I've just been doing that, though. I've been hanging out at some other... They have a sister club in Long Island City called The Standing Room, which is... Both of those rooms are just done so well. I mean, you talk about classy, the word classy, these embody that word, classy. Just you walk in, the vibe is not overstated, it's just classy, and the decor is so, it feels like New York style, but like upscale, but not too upscale, if you know what I mean. So it's like, it's accessible to people. It's not a place where you would walk in and go, this is just too expensive. I mean, and it is. It's not cheap, obviously. It's New York City. It's Manhattan. It's going to be expensive. But relative to some other places, it's not that bad. But, yeah, those clubs are really just good spots to be at. So I've been hanging around there and just doing mics and some shows here and there, hosting some shows, doing some spots on a few shows. Not too much yet as far as paid work, but working towards that, obviously. So... And I guess the biggest disappointment, and the reason maybe I'm just more in that mode of thought today, but it was because it was recently, but it was, I did an open call for Caroline's Comedy Club, which Caroline's is a pretty established club in New York City. It's been around for a while. It's actually the last place that Bill Hicks ever performed at. That's why sticks out to me as far as Caroline's. I always think about that being the last place Bill Hicks ever went on stage and performed. So it's got that kind of sentimental value for me. But it's near Times Square. It's a more touristy club. Any of those clubs that are around that area, the Times Square area, have a larger number of tourists. So... But it's a good room. So they had an open call for the New York Comedy Festival, and me being, you know, the wet behind the ears, trying to make it up in the world guy, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go do this. And it just turned out to be a total, just poorly run, and felt more like a setup than it was a real legitimate open call. So I got there 7 a.m. in the morning, and the call time was 9 a.m. So I figured 2 hours early, I'm sure there'll be somewhat of a line, but there were a few guys that camped out all night, stayed out there all night. I did that with the other open call for NBC at Gotham, and I was like, I'm not doing that again. Plus it was a weekday, so I was like, it's Tuesday, they're going to be fewer people there, I feel like, because people are working. The other call was on a Saturday, so I figured it'd be good. You know, I could get there 7, be okay. And I did. When I got there, the line was maybe about 75 people in front of me, 75 or so. I didn't count it, but in terms of what I thought it could be, it wasn't too bad. So if I thought 75 people, you know, call time's 9 a.m., it'll probably be a few hours before they can see me. I'll be out of here by maybe mid-afternoon, 1, maybe 2 o'clock. So the call time was at 9. I got there at 7. My buddy Jermaine, who you know from previous episodes of the podcast, was there as well. He got there like maybe about 10, 15 minutes after I did, and he was about 7, 8 people behind me. So he was, him and I were kind of close in line, but we were waiting. So 9 o'clock rolls around, right? And they come out with some cameras and stuff, but they haven't started seeing people. They're just trying to get shots of the line. So I'm standing there like, I don't even want to be a part of this. I'm not proud to be here right now, standing in line like this, like a loser. But they went up and down and were doing some camera shots for whatever they're filming for, some web thing, or I don't even know what it is, honestly. And so the call time being 9 a.m., they didn't end up even letting people in to the club until closer to 10. Ended up being almost an hour. I think maybe 45 minutes to an hour. So it's already like, damn, like just to even start the day, you're like, come on. Like you say 9 a.m., it's just to me unprofessional. And who am I to say anything about professionalism when I'm just a nobody in their, you know, a legitimate club? But I felt like they weren't treating those that were in line as if they really were in, like, that their time meant anything. Like it was evident they didn't care. So anyway, so the call started and the line starts moving and, you know, we're going along. It's slow going, but it's slowly moving, right? And then people with call times start coming. The call time people are people that have agents or management or whatever, and they're able to schedule a call time with the club versus waiting in line. So that's, you know, that's where you want to be. That's the position that, you know, you then it makes sense to do something like that. But obviously I didn't have that, so I wasn't able to have a call time, but I had some friends that did, and they were showing up and they were just going in, and basically the people that had the call time, the camera crew was interviewing them and asking them questions about stand up and stuff for whatever they're filming for. And every person that had a call time was getting interviewed, and it ended up feeling like, because they didn't interview a single person in line, they only interviewed the people that were already scheduled. And you began to feel like, are we just fodder here for these shots, so it looks like this is more important than it really is? There's people waiting in line, because you tell comics open call and say new and put a banner of New York Comedy Festival on it, like you could potentially get on the New York Comedy Festival. Of course comics are going to want to go check that out. Of course they're going to go wait in line for that shit if they, you know, you hope and believe it's legitimate. Well, this turned out to be not so much. So it was, they were doing every single person that came up with the call times getting interviewed, and I was starting to get really kind of antsy because the line started moving slower. The people with the call times also not only were getting interviewed, but they would go down and go straight to see the judge, the producers, whoever, whatever you want to call them, judges, producers. So they were just, you know, straight away going in and doing their thing and getting to leave. So it was really quick and simple process for them, easy. Obviously, they're being treated with a much higher respect level than the guys in line. So the line's moving slower, and it's already crossing midday, and we're still in line. There's still a decent amount of people ahead of us, and I'm just getting to the point, or I'm just really kind of starting to get frustrated. Then the judges go on a lunch break, right? So it's like, okay, lunch break. Now it's going to be another hour, right? So now we're approaching the 3 o'clock hour. Lines moving closer. Finally, I'm getting to being within about 15 or 20 people of getting inside. So I'm getting pretty close. They're bringing in groups of like 5 at a time. So I'm a few groups away. So finally getting up close to there, 3:30-ish, somewhere in there. Another lunch break for the judges or producers. So they take a second lunch break of the day. Which, I don't know, I guess I'm crazy. I thought you only did one lunch a day. I thought that was what lunch is. It's I didn't know you do two lunches. Maybe it was a brunch the first time, and then the second one was just a regular full lunch. I don't know. And also, that's a fast metabolism, I feel like, to be eating lunch and then, like, within a couple hours already eating lunch again. That's... finally, Lion gets to the point of I'm, like, right there and getting close. Well, now it's already, you know, probably close to 4 o'clock at that point. So I've been in line since 7 a.m. And I'm just now getting inside. And I thought I would be completely out of there by, honestly, by noon, I thought. And it's already 4 o'clock and I haven't even gotten inside. Because once you get inside, now you have to go fill out some paperwork, a W-9 for some stupid reason, since they're not paying anybody. They're just collecting W-9s on everybody that's even auditioning, which makes no sense. And some other paperwork. And then you had to sit downstairs. At least there, some couches or cushioned booths and AC, which is nice. But it was still just a hassle. And so you're waiting there, and another hour goes by. It's already approaching 5, getting up closer to 5:30. And the guy that's downstairs kind of running the show is like, all right, everybody, anybody that's downstairs, you will be seen. And so everybody's like, oh, okay, good, thinking, you know, we've been waiting, coming up on 11 hours, or over 11 hours at that point, and we're just... like, we don't want this to all be for nothing, right? So my buddy Jermaine, of course, who was like, you know, 7 or 8 behind me, is like, I don't like this. He's like, my spidey sense is going off. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, they're going to see everybody that's downstairs based on how long it's been taking them to get through people and then versus the amount of people still left. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean... I felt pretty safe where I was at. Like, I thought, okay, yeah, I think I'll get a chance. But I was a little worried, not too worried. Well, luckily, finally, I get into the line to get in to see the producers. And, sorry, stuff on my laptop. So I go finally inside. And at that point, it's already 5:30. It's been all day. They've been seeing comics all day at this point. Probably like easily over 100, maybe 150 comedians at that point of the day. And, you know, to me, it feels like they're probably just looking at their watch, just counting the seconds to getting done with the day or whatever. So it's just not a good situation to walk into. And I'm already not even on a respect level of most of the comics they're seeing that are, you know, represented by people and have, you know, legit credits, some of them, and getting the call times like they were getting. It makes me look like I'm just a nobody. But I go in and I do some of my what I feel is better material. Definitely I did my closer, which is my closer, what I do at real shows, like my real best stuff what I feel like right now anyway is one of my best jokes. And I get nothing. I get like zero. I get a light chuckle from a couple of people that is barely even audible. I mean, it is like, luckily it's only 2 minutes. Thank God. Cause damn, if I was there for 5 doing that, that would be really, really painful. So I just like, I got nothing. The main guy, I guess, that was producing it, running it, I don't know. He had, done some shots outside where he's like on camera and stuff. He was there with his dog. And I'm like, bro, are you serious? Like, you have a fucking dog in an audition room? Like, comics are coming in here waiting hours and hours to be seen, and you have a fucking dog? Like, this is just a big joke? Going back to the professionalism, I didn't agree with some of the ways that some of the things they were doing, some of the way that things were run. It just, all of it felt just unprofessional. And I know this is all affiliated with the New York Comedy Festival, and that's fine. It's a very big festival, if not arguably the most biggest festival, comedy festival, other than maybe Montreal Just for Laughs. But it's like, come on, man. Like, have a little pride. Like, be a professional, you know? Like, show some just respect for the people that are, you know, are taking time out of their day to be here and do this. And some of them, luckily not me, because I don't have a job, but a lot of people I know that were there did and probably went out of their way to get off that day just to even get there and do that. And it's they're being treated as if they're just crap. So it was just not good. And I finished, and they all kind of looked at me like I had just, like, walked into a party that I wasn't invited to or something. Just this look of, like, the fuck? Like, who are you? Like, just, it just felt so, I literally walked off, and there was this chick, helper chick that worked there. And I just, like, motioned the gun to my temple like I was just wanting to kill myself because it was that bad. And so I just, it was, I left very dejected, very just really pissed off. And it was not a fun day, not a fun situation to be in. And so I took the train home and just kind of sat back. Luckily, the Astros were playing. They ended up beating the Yankees, so I at least had something cool. Would have been an extra slap on the face if they had been beaten by the Yankees as well, but luckily they didn't. But just close, it was just not a good day. And I texted Jermaine afterwards and was like, so what happened with your thing? And he didn't get seen, just like he thought he wouldn't. Like, I was like, oh my god. Now I feel bad, but it's like, ah, man, like, if I had waited all day, it's a good thing I got seen. Let me just say that, because it's quite possible I would have made a scene at Caroline's if they had told me I wasn't going to get seen. Scene. But I really, because I was already thinking about, like, how I was going to feel if they told me, they didn't have time. And I was going to probably take it out on somebody. Unfortunately, that's like my mom's personality coming through. My mom's that type that anytime she feels wronged, takes it out on somebody, wants to let somebody know how she feels about it. I'm not necessarily like that all the time, but just when you're waiting that long, I mean, you're waiting nearly 12 hours. I felt really bad for Jermaine, just not even getting a chance. And he said they told him, well, we'll have something where you can come back. And it's like, really, what? And it's like, that's just a vague, like, try to, like, pacify you for just so you'll leave and feel like you're not getting totally screwed over. But, and that goes back to the point, too, of them being more professional and taking the time to, like, understand and recognize the amount of time it's going to take, how many people they could see, and maybe having a cutoff number or something on there where they tell people, hey, look, you know, you're not. I mean, because there were at least 100, probably more than 100 people in line behind me that didn't get seen. So I was one of probably within the last 5 to 7 people that got seen on the day. So I just barely made it. So there were a ton of people that were really pissed off, I'm sure. But it's like that I feel like is more on them than how they ran the whole thing, because they could have told people, hey, look, this is how many people we're going to probably be able to see today. If you know you're not in that number, you know, you can wait if you really want to, but just know that it's going to be more likely you're not going to be seen than be seen. And that way, at least if you don't get seen, you feel like, oh, at least I knew from the beginning. But to think and to have that feeling like, oh yeah, they're going to see us and nobody's telling anybody anything and saying, hey, look, it's just not going to happen. It just felt really bad. And so, bad taste in the mouth, but I guess I shouldn't be too mad. I did at least get seen, whereas a lot of people didn't, but not fun. Not fun at all. Felt really bad. But luckily, I actually turned it around, and I came out these last few days, because that was Tuesday, and it's Friday. I came out these last few days, and I actually was able to just, I had some good sets. The failure of it all and the feeling of dejection and just feeling just down on myself, I kind of tried to turn that around and realize some of the times I had been going up at these other places, I had had a nervousness about myself, and just because it's a lot of unfamiliar people and this judgmental nature of a lot of open mics in New York. But I kind of like let loose a little bit, and I just kind of, you know, it's why, like, what does it matter? Like, I could go in to these open mics and it's nothing. And I just went into an audition for a major festival and just totally fucking blew it. And so I just, excuse me, I I just turned it around, and I felt good the last few days, actually, about comedy and what I've been doing. There's almost a lightheartedness that has come, and attention has been taken out, and I'm just kind of trying to be in the realization of, like, it's just no individual performance, no individual situation matters all that much in the scheme of things. So why be super uptight in a situation when it's like, what does it matter? You know, like, why should I feel like, you know, you do something and people don't react to you, and you tighten up and they sense that. And it's like, that's a bad situation to be in. Nobody likes to be there, because it's just it's like a dynamic that happens in between a audience member and the performer, that they can sense in that performer that kind of like, ooh, like reservation about themselves. And then it actually, your performance suffers, and everybody, it just brings the show down, versus being able to just have the mentality of like, hey, this is just a performance and I'm just having fun. And, you know, it's just, I don't care if it goes well, that's what I'm trying and hoping for. But if it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. And that mentality is the best mentality you can have once you go on stage and you're trying to be funny in front of people, is to just not true. I mean, you have to care about the outcome. Obviously, you want to do well to advance, but you can't care if the outcome doesn't play to your favor. That's what it really is. You can't be mad if you just don't have a good set. You just have to let it go, move on, figure out if something you did wrong, if it was just not a good situation. There's a lot of variables that go into why you may not do well on any given show, but it's you got to look at it and try to be rational and objective about it, and look at it from an analytical standpoint to try to be better. And that's where I'm at this point. I'm just trying to be more, focused on my writing and the specific jokes I'm doing, and cutting off the unnecessary stuff that I don't need. And that process of building that and having fun trying to figure that out is in of itself, it's really one of the fun parts about comedy, is that your act is your unique thing, and you get to kind of figure that out and just, how do I put this out there, and how do I say this, and what's my rhythm, what's my point of view here, and try to just figure those things out, and let the other stuff just kind of happen as it will. But anyway, so that's been that's been where I've been at with comedy, like, the last month. So I again am sorry that I took so long. And I have been trying to get some guests on, so I want you guys to know that I really am trying to get some people in here that I can have some good talks with, because there's a lot of, like, really cool people in New York City. And honestly, it's been my fault, because I've been looking at getting a mixer and some mics, so I can actually plug into my laptop and have other than my laptop microphone to use, so it's a little bit more legit for interviewing. And I just haven't done that. But I'm going to do it soon, I promise. I'm going to get some good mics, and then I'm going to get a mixer, and I'm going to be able to plug in. And that way, when I go interview somebody, I don't feel like I'm doing it as a, you know, loser. I actually feel like a little more legit about it when I'm talking to these people, because these are people that are doing things in the business, and I don't want to feel like I'm wasting their time. I want them to feel like it's actually a use of their time worth doing. So I will do that, though. I will. What else is going on with you guys? I hope everything and every one of you listeners' end is good. I do appreciate your support in listening to this. It means a lot to me. I thank you so much. And if you at any point can share or let other people know about it, much appreciated. Get the word out. And also, I'll be doing my end, the work on my end, to give you guys those quality people that give you that value in your listenership. Is that a word? Listenership? Yeah, I guess it is. So, I don't know. Should I go long today? A little longer? I usually try to cut off around, you know, right around this point, coming up on half an hour here. I don't know. What else is there going on, you know? School shootings. Lots of school shootings. Now, actually was another one yesterday. Although, that's how sad it is. I realize this. This was a shooter that shot somebody because of an altercation. And I guess it ended up multiple shots fired. People got in the crossfire. I'm actually friends with someone that I've known on social media from like way, way back. MySpace days, we were friends and we've remained friends. We've only met in person a couple times, but we've just been social media friends for years and years, over a decade. Her cousin, I think, was one of the victims that was shot. And I think he's like in intensive care right now because of it. So I felt really bad. She posted on Facebook today or yesterday about that. And it's sad, man. The shots were fired, right? And they actually ruled that the whole thing it wasn't like an attack. It was just something that happened that transpired because of a fight. And it's just kind of looked on as like, oh, well, that's not it. Oh, just that, right? Like, what does that say about the state of affairs when people look at something like that and go, oh, so it was only a altercation, you know, that was a fight? Because those happen every day all over America. So that, no big deal there. It wasn't an attack on an actual school where somebody just went in and killed innocent people for no reason. So it's fine. It's okay. Classes still are scheduled. It's just, actually, I think at UTSA, when I was at UTSA, this was, I don't know how long ago this was, 5 or 7 years ago, there was a guy that lived at the Outpost Apartments, which is, for those of you not familiar, is right across the street from UTSA. And he was getting his car towed, I think, and ended up killing the tow truck driver, shot him. And the guy was like, I think he was a PhD student, or he was maybe working on his master's. I can't remember. He was graduate level. I know that for sure. And killed a dude. But it's like that kind of thing. Those sorts of things happen so often. We're so desensitized to it. It's just, we don't even think of it as a thing anymore. And now it's like, even the school shootings, I feel so bad saying it. Like the Oregon one, I've had like those moments of just being upset about, you know, obviously Sandy Hook was super upsetting. The fact that little kids were killed, that's really messed up. I mean, that's just so messed up. You can't even, what can you say? But like this now with, you know, a college, it's like, I didn't even have that much empathy, and I felt bad because if anybody saw Obama's speech, like even he, it's like, it's at the point where it's like, this is a routine thing. Like, it's just like, oh, it's the time of the month where I give my school shooting speech. All right, great. You already got that written, right? We got the template already. You know, it's just, it's insanity. What word I'm trying to say? It's insanity to be so far gone on that, that we just look at that and be like, oh yeah, no biggie, whatever. And I've never been one to really be super anti-gun. I've never been like, hey, we need to get rid of guns, guns are bad, just because I grew up around guns. So I've never been the type that's like, I understand the dangers of guns, but I don't, you know, I don't find them to be completely like, hey, these are nothing, all bad. A lot of bad stuff happens because of guns, but also guns have saved people. Guns, some people use for legitimate hunting or just to own and for target practice and are responsible owners. I mean, I remember as a kid, I would go out to my grandfather's ranch with my dad and my brothers, and we would take guns with us and we would shoot them. And it was fun. I mean, we would just shoot at things, target practice, and not for any reason. We weren't killing anything. But also, I mean, you're walking around there. That property is out in a very, you know, brushy kind of just, for sure, very wild area. So if you're walking out on the property alone, for sure, I mean, there's wild pigs out there. Having a weapon is important. You know, you need a weapon. Because if you get ambushed by who knows what, how else are you going to protect yourself? You're going to take a pig down with your bare hands? No, that's not happening. That pig is going to kill you. I mean, it's so, you know, you got to be careful out there. There's other animals as well. And I get guns, but at the end of the day, I really turned the tide on my feelings in terms of just how restrictive I feel like. I think this whole thing of people can go in and get a gun same day and just the ease of it. All the guns that guy used in Oregon were legally bought guns. I mean, just the ease of access and just not screening people to a certain degree. And I'm not even talking about background screening. I'm not talking about criminal history. I'm talking about psychological screening. I'm talking about mental health screening. Making sure somebody is not crazy, you know, not bipolar, something, whatever. Who knows what causes people to do that kind of shit. But just trying to make sure that the best you can that people are of sane mind that are getting a hold of weapons. Because right now, it's not like that. You basically have an ID and you don't have a criminal record, you can get a gun, period. And it shouldn't be that easy. It does still, I think it needs to be more difficult to get a weapon. I mean, you're talking about things that can inflict so much damage. I was having an argument with a guy online, and he put a meme about knife attacks. And I think he was trying to, like, make a correlation of, like, knives. Like, weapons are dangerous because they're dangerous. But it's like, no, you can't walk into a school and murder 33 people with a knife. It's not going to happen. You're going to get taken out. They may die in the process, but somebody's going to take you out before you could kill. You may kill a couple of people with a knife, maybe. But also, I mean, if they can outrun you, what are you going to do? Throw it at them? I mean, it's not nearly as comparable to a weapon, a gun. I mean, guns inflict can inflict crazy damage so quickly. And I have a very healthy respect, and I was instilled with that from the time I started using weapons and started, you know, shooting guns. My dad, being a police officer, obviously, as you guys know, was extremely cautious and always very, very, hey, this is how you do it. You know, you always never point a gun at anything you don't plan to shoot and kill. You know, always assume that a gun is loaded. Never assume, never, even if you're 100% sure, you've double, triple, quadruple checked the chamber, made sure it's empty, you always assume a gun is loaded. Just period. Always. It's how you approach a gun. There's just certain rules in how he taught us how to use weapons and instilled that proper fear, if you will, in us about what guns can do and the damage they can do. And so even with all that, I don't have a desire to own a gun, actually. I really don't. I live in New York City. A lot of people consider this a very dangerous place. I live in Brooklyn. I mean, I'm not in the nicest area. I mean, there's definitely some hood dudes around my area. I mean, there's some dudes. I mean, a lot of New York. It's just, for sure my neighborhood can be a little bit, you know, considered urban, if you will. But I don't want a gun. I don't care. I don't need a gun. I have a bat. If somebody comes into my house, I'm going to beat the shit out of them with a bat. And, you know, hopefully they don't have a gun. But, man, I don't know. It feels like that's just a constant thing. And I'm sick of talking about it. I don't even want to talk about it. It's pathetic. What are we going to do? I don't know. I know Jermaine and I talked about this when he was on the podcast, but it's just, there's so much crap that you just feel like we could do better, and it's just, you kind of lose that optimism as you get years go by. Like, early 20s, I was gung-ho about social issues and crap and really cared and about injustice and all that and was vocal on my social media, blah, blah, blah. I don't even really care anymore. I just kind of, like, my caring is, like, really diminished, and I wish I still did, but I'm just, as far as politics go, I don't care. It's like, what's going to happen is going to happen. you know, we have elected officials, but if you think their decisions are not at the behest of the people that give them their money, you're an idiot. I mean, that's bottom line. I don't think they're making decisions for anybody except the campaign contributors that are going to give them the money. So it's whatever. This has been, like, not as funny of a podcast. I don't know. It's been more serious podcast this time. But sometimes you got to be serious in life, all right? You got to – can't always be fun in games, all right? Sometimes you got to be a man. Yeah. I will – you know, it's been good, though. I've done a little bit more time this time, so that's good since I have been neglectful. But I guess we'll close it out. I mean – I got for once I have a date I can confirm. Oh, it feels great. I'm going to be at the El Paso Comic Strip this in December 16th through the 20th. So, not that most of my listeners, if any of them, live in El Paso, but if you know anybody, please let them know. And I'll be featuring for Eric Rivera, I believe, is who the headliner is. So, that'll be great. I'm going to be hanging out with the girlfriend. And I'll be out there. So also planning to make a trip through San Antonio. And I'll be hopefully the week before that, whatever Friday that is. I don't even know the date. I guess it would be the 9th. No, I'm sorry. 16th. It'd be maybe the 11th. Whatever the Friday before the 18th. I guess it's the 11th. I'll be at the planning, hopefully, to be at the Blind Tiger. I'm going to have one-night show, a Rakoti return show before I go to El Paso. So, mark your calendars, people. Yeah. Yawning. All right. Well, I'm gonna kill it off there, guys. I really appreciate you again for listening, if you're still here with me. And I'm going to get a guest. I'm resoluting. I don't know if that's a word. To get a guest next episode. So, I'll be back with somebody. I got a few people I've been talking with, so we'll see who we can get lined up, and we'll see you guys next time. All right, I'm gonna also hold me to it if I don't post. You know, message me or post on my wall, talk shit up to me, say bad things, publicly denounce me. Make sure you stay on me. I need to know people care about this thing, so I'm like more adamant about making sure it gets done. So anyway, all right, cool. That's it. Take care of yourselves. I'll see you guys around. Take care. Later on. Bye.